Chapter 4, Book of Ruth, if you want to turn there. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down, and there, behold, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Come aside, friend, sit down here." So he came aside and sat down. And he took the men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the close relative, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am the next after you. And she said, and he said, I'll redeem it. Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance. And the close relative said, ah, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it. Now, this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging to confirm anything. One man took off his sandal and gave it to the other, and this was confirmation in Israel. Therefore, the close relative said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. So he took off his sandal, and Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are my witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, the name of the dead, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among the brethren from this position at the gate. You are my witnesses this day. And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel, and may you prosper in Ephrath and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel, and may he be your restorer of life and nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom, and he became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor woman gave him a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, this is the genealogy of Perez. Perez begot Hezron, Hezron begot Ram, and Ram begot Aminadab. Aminadab begot Nishan, Nishan begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. Isn't that great? All right. At this time, it's time for greeting one another, so stand and greet one another as the pastor comes forward.
This is one of those things that comes across my desk that you just got to share. But it seems that there was this couple that was debating about buying a new vehicle, and they've been debating for weeks. All he wanted was a new truck, a pickup truck, and any pickup truck would have done. But she wanted one of those little sporty cars that she could do and drive through traffic as she went through town. Well, as the debate got on, she got a little frustrated, and she says, "All I want is something that goes from 0 to 200 in 4 seconds or less. And my birthday is coming. Surprise me." Guilt trip. So anyway, yeah, he thinks about it, and he does. He goes out and buys her one of those things that goes from 0 to 204 seconds or less. So on her birthday, he presented her with a new bathroom scale. It says funeral services are pending. And she is charged with justifiable homicide. I thank Bill for reading this morning. You read better with dyslexia than I do without it. So thank you very much. I know it was a struggle. But let's take the message to the Lord in prayer before we begin. Father God, we do again thank you for the beauty of the day. Lord, just for everything you do for us. Lord, we all have quirks. We all have disabilities of some sorts, one kind of another. But Lord, you use us even as though we're broken pots. Lord, you use us as your vessels. We thank you for that. And Lord, we now thank you for this message. We ask that you bless it to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Up until now, Boaz could not move towards Ruth. She had to claim him as her kinsman redeemer. But now that she has, he can move ahead on her behalf. So our first consideration for this morning is this. Christ, like Boaz, is not able to move on our behalf until we claim him as our kinsman redeemer. He has died for us. He's been to hell and back on our behalf. But all he will do is stand at our heart's door and knock. He will not force his way in. He'll wait for us to ask him into our hearts. And once we do, it is then that he can move on our behalf as our kinsman redeemer. Boaz is ready to act, but that means Ruth has to sit back and wait. But waiting is not necessarily one of our better virtues, is it? And we go into a fast food restaurant and we get impatient when we have to wait. We get impatient and at traffic lights. We get impatient when our computer doesn't. She's just going, she knows. I hate traffic lights. But we get impatient when our computer doesn't boot up in a nanosecond or do whatever it's supposed to do. And with our ever-increasing speed of technology, our tolerance for waiting is getting so much less and less. And so don't you just hate it when somebody says to you, "Well, you got to wait on the Lord." No, I don't. I'm too old to wait. I can get in there and I can fix it myself. However, Hebrews 6:12 states that it is by faith and patience that we inherit the promises of God. Psalm 37:5 says, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will do it." In chapter 3, verse 18, Naomi gives Ruth some very wise counsel. She says, "Sit still and wait." And that term, to be still, means take your hands off or relax. But again, that's something we don't want to do. But see, it wouldn't do her any good to follow Boaz around and try to do what was his responsibility to do. Nor is it wise when we get impatient to try to help God do his job, because we only mess it up anyway. But here's usually how it works. Here's hoping I don't hurt myself or anybody else. Yeah, this is what we want to give to God. We say, "Okay, God, I'm going to give this to you, and I'm going to wait." And so what do? We give it to God, but we take it back, don't we? And we say, "Oh, I'm getting so frustrated again. God, I'm going to give it back to you, and I'm going to wait." And we give it back to God, but no, we take it back again. And we keep doing that, don't we? We give it, and we take it back. And I'm going to stop on my head. but what we got to do is we got to cut the cord. We got to let God take care of business. So our next consideration is this. God is quite capable of accomplishing the impossible without us getting in the way. And one of the ways to prove our trust and our faith is to just sit back and let God do his job. God said, "Be still and know that I am God." Now, Boaz goes to the city gates, and he's going to take care of business. Now, the city gates acted as a courthouse. Plus, it was where everybody kind of came and gone. So if you would, picture our church walls being the city walls. The only way in and out would be through those two doors. If you wanted to find somebody, you'd go and sit by those doors. And you'd wait. And eventually, yeah, the person would probably come by. And that's what Boaz does. But he's waiting for this closer kin. But this closer kin presents a major problem for Boaz. If he claims his right in, then Boaz loses Ruth. So his only hope is that this guy rejects his right to redeem. Now, understand this. Boaz does not have to do this. Ruth has already claimed him as her kinsman redeemer. But Boaz knows the law, and he's a man of integrity. Therefore, he doesn't just know what is right. He does what is right. So he goes and he sits at the gates, and he waits for the man to come along. He comes along and says, "Have a seat. We need to chat." But you notice he also invites 10 other elders to come witnesses to the transaction place. Let me tell you something. Whenever you make a major transaction, have witnesses to that transaction. It doesn't matter how legal it is, how upfront it may be, how innocent it may sound. Have witnesses in case there's a problem that arises later on. Now, Boaz presents his case, but he does so in a rather clever way. See, at first, he leaves Ruth out of the picture. She's his trump card, if you would. So basically, he says to this guy, he says, "Look, if there's this piece of property that belonged to our brother Elimelech, and he happened to die when he was out in Moab, so his wife came back, and she can't afford to keep it. So she wants to sell it. And I'm telling you this because you are the next of kin. So are you interested in redeeming?" Now, I'm sure that Boaz's heart sank to his ankles when the guy says yes. And so Boaz moves to the next level of negotiation. He says, "Oh, by the way, at the bottom of the contract, in tiny little print, there's something you need to read. When you redeem the property, you're not just getting the property and this wonderful woman, Naomi, but you're also redeeming her daughter-in-law, Ruth, the Moabite, who happened to have married one of Elimelech's kids, and he's dead too. So when you take that and when you redeem, it means you have to marry Ruth and bring up her kids and do everything that the law requires." This man now rethinks his first response. We don't know whether he already raised a family. Maybe he wasn't interested in going through diaper, teething, and adolescent stages of life all over again. It also, if he didn't have a son, and Ruth did, then it would affect, as we read, his inheritance. But also, if you notice, Boaz didn't drop in that little phrase for nothing. He says, "Ruth, the Moabite." Now, if you remember, Jews were not supposed to associate with Moabites. So this guy may have been thinking, "Hey, you know, I don't want a Moabite in my family. It's going to hurt my family name." But regardless of the case, regardless of why, he refuses his right to redeem. He says, "Take it. Go ahead. Do with it what you want." And it's interesting because if his response was because, one, we know it would affect his inheritance, the other is maybe it would affect his family name, you realize we know nothing about him. We don't know his name. We don't know what he possessed. So our third consideration for this morning is this. Sometimes those things we choose to protect really have little value in the eyes of God. But unlike this other kinsman, Boaz was not concerned about jeopardizing his inheritance. In like manner, Jesus is not concerned about jeopardizing his inheritance. In fact, he makes us a part of his inheritance, which means that upon our salvation, we can partake in his riches, his blessings, and his promises. And we are guaranteed that he is preparing a place for us in his Father's house. And think of this, just because this other kinsman refused his right to redeem doesn't change the fact that he is still the closer kin. God doesn't have to redeem us. We're sinners. We are unworthy of his presence. And so if he didn't redeem us, it still would not change the fact that he is a just and holy God. So our fourth consideration for this morning is this. God loves us and therefore is willing to redeem us through his Son, who paid the price that we could not pay. And like Boaz, Jesus made his plans privately but paid the price publicly. And like Boaz, Jesus did it for his love for his bride. That is his love for you and me. But now there's something about this kinsman. I'd like to suggest that he is a picture of the Mosaic Law, because the law cannot redeem us. In fact, it is impossible for the law to redeem us. Romans 3:20 states, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. The law was never given to redeem us. It was never given to save us. It was never given to love us. It was given to show us our sinful nature and to condemn us. But it was also given as a tool to help us control our sinful nature. However, how well do we do that? We can't keep God's law, can we? As hard as we try, we cannot keep it. We can't even keep our local laws, can we? Those of you that can drive, how many of you can honestly say you have never broken the speed limit? Yeah, none of us. I would agree with that. Now, I have to admit, I really do appreciate people who do the speed limit. Unless they're in front of me. That's a different story. But if we can't keep our local laws, what makes us think that we can keep God's law? And this law was a list of do's and don'ts. List that shows us God's holiness and our sinfulness. It was a list that's supposed to point us to the need of a Savior. The kinsman said, I can't redeem, and neither can the law. So our fifth consideration for this morning is this. Redemption comes only through Jesus Christ. Now, the handing over the sandal made this transaction legal and binding. It was a sign of a covenant that could not be broken. Christ's death on the cross is a legal and binding transaction. It was a covenant made in his blood, and it is an everlasting covenant. It's a covenant that cannot be broken. And the reason it cannot be broken is because this is a that is of divine origin. It is not a man-made covenant. It's a covenant made by an everlasting God. And grasp this. He made this covenant specifically for us. This is a personal covenant. And it's the only covenant that can give us comfort, because it's the only covenant that is worthy of an everlasting God. And think about this. If Jesus loved before we loved him, then doesn't it make sense that he's always loved us? And there's no past or future with God. There's only the here and now. And so we can say from our hearts that God loves me now and has forgiven my sins now, then know that they have always been forgiven and you have always been loved. And how sweet it is to know that this covenant tells us that if I'm loved on a Sunday morning, then I'm loved by God for the rest of the week. And if I have become a part of his family, then I can never, ever, ever be removed from, can be proven that I was never begin with. If we could take down our Heavenly Father's family Bible, would your name be written in its pages? Will you be a part of the marriage feast of the Lamb? Something to think about. Now, it does tell us that there was rejoicing among the townspeople, and that the townspeople prayed that Ruth would be fruitful and bearing children. See, for Israel, children were not a burden. They were a blessing. Unfortunately, it's not that way in our society, is it? As more and more children are being aborted, abandoned, abused, and even murdered. But also for Israel, they knew that it was through their nation that God would send the Messiah. But little did they know that Ruth and Boaz would be in the bloodline of our Lord. And little did Boaz know that by showing Ruth love, grace, and mercy, that he would be fulfilling God's promises to bless the nations. Because he did. He became the great-grandfather to King David. But our verses also tell us that a son was born, and his name was Obed. And the name Obed means servant. Because their hope was that he would become a servant to Naomi in her old age. But we also know that Naomi loved Obed, even though he was not her own flesh and blood. And I got thinking about that. And I got thinking about those who are part of a blended family, his, hers, and theirs. And even though some of those children are not, say, of the flesh and blood of one of the parents, they are to love those children just as if they are. And the same is true for those who adopt. You know, in most cases, those people that adopt, they're not adopting their own flesh and blood. But they are to love those children as if they are. Because that is what God requires of us. But these verses also tell us that Ruth loved Naomi better than seven sons. That's pretty awesome. But I want you to think about the process that has taken place throughout this book. If you remember when Naomi came back from Moab, she was bitter. She was bitter at God. She was bitter at life. She was bitter at everything. And I would imagine that at that point in time, her heart was pretty cold and hard. But because of Ruth's love for her, and because Ruth chose to follow the Lord, that heart that was so hard and bitter became a heart that could love. So our final consideration for this morning is this. One person trusting in the Lord and obeying His will can change the course of history, and it can change the course of the human heart. Ruth, the Moabite, the foreigner, made a wonderful name for herself back there in Bethlehem. So my question for us this morning is this. What kind of name have we made for ourselves, either at our workplace or in our neighborhood? What would people say about us? If you own a company, what would they say about your company? Would people consider us of noble character? Now, for our witness and for the sake of our Lord, I hope so. Because people will judge our Lord by what we do. It's easy to be a Christian with inside these four walls. But can we still be a Christian when we're outside? We need to be. We need to be showing love to others as Ruth showed to Naomi. Because there are some people out there who are very bitter. But our love towards them can change that. They can melt that heart. We need to be inviting people to church. You might be surprised. You know, well, there's a neighbor. I'm not so sure I should invite him. They might be just waiting for you to do that. Invite him to church. But make sure that your life is a reflection of the Christ that lives within you. As we go to the communion table this morning, we spend a little time between us and the Lord. Consider that. Ask the Lord for His help. Ask Him to show you who you could witness to, or you know, who you can invite to church. I'm sure He'll do that. But also remember to thank Him for what He's done for us, His death and resurrection. And also make sure that your sins are forgiven so that we can come before this table in a worthy manner. Take some time between you and the Lord. I'll close in prayer and ask those that are serving to come forward. Father God, once again, we do thank You and praise You. Lord, You're an awesome God. I think You would send Your Son here to live among us, only to be sacrificed on our behalf. Lord, we thank You for the table that we can come before that reminds us of what He's done. Lord, the wafer that reflects His body that was beaten and broken for us, the blood that was shed for us, so that we could have forgiveness of sins. Lord, there's no way that we could ever comprehend it, understand it. All we can do is be thankful for it. So Lord, now as we partake in this communion service, we ask that You bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You that we can gather together. I thank You, Lord, that You are our Redeemer. What a joy it is to come to this Supper of the Lamb, Lord, in a way, remembering Your death and burial and resurrection. Remember Your body that was broken for us. Lord, as we do it, we just pray, Lord, that You'll speak to each one of our hearts. Lord, we just thank You for the awesomeness that You are and that You remember us. We're made from dust, and to dust we're going to return. But Lord, You are our God. You have been merciful and gracious to us. And we thank You for all You do in our lives. In Jesus' name,
Amen. Amen. For I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for shedding your blood and imagining what it was like to be on that day, knowing that what was coming to you and still all of you with the body spirit. What was to be ever reminded of the sacrifice.
Continuing on, it says, "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Father God, we do thank you for your life, your death, and your resurrection, and your ascension. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to come before you, seek forgiveness of our sins, ask you to be our Lord and Savior. And Lord, it's all because of what you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just real quick, next week we're going to start a series on Ephesians, or in Ephesians. So if you'd like, try reading the first chapter between now and next week.
Okay? And on Wednesday night, men's Bible study, we'll be doing the book of Job. A lot of fun. Let's turn in our hymnals to 345, if you would. And we'll sing all three verses of Blessed Assurance. We have that assurance because of Jesus' work on Calvary. Let's stand to sing in closing. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is divine. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. On the last, perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. Born of his sweetness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. Great singing this morning, and all God's children said, Amen. Amen.